Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning's Lenten message comes, I guess, from the Old Testament reading, the plagues of Egypt, but the plagues of Egypt placed in context, in the context of the entire departure of the children of Israel into the wilderness. And I think that this collect for Lent that's on the front cover is really important to understand. And so I'm going to reread that prayer. I've entitled the message, Two Wilderness Journeys, Exodus and Easter, Fueled by Sacrifice. So the prayer. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. So got a couple of good questions on the front of your bulletin cover, and I'll ask another if it isn't already there. What is the connection between the story of the Israelites fleeing Egypt and with our own journey towards Easter? As year after year, the Cecil B. DeMille's version of the Ten Commandments played one week, and then the Easter story through the movie The King of Kings played the next week, my 10-year-old self reasoned, well, it's a religious time of the year, and the Jews need to have their story, and the Christians need to have their story. And everybody watched both because they're both good stories. But as I see in our lectionary for the Lenten season, peppered with parts of the Exodus story leading up to Easter, God is blessed and he's deepened my understanding to see the big picture of God's people. That there isn't this great divide. That there's the God's people, Israel, and that there's God's people, the new Israel. Led by Moses, and then led by the new Moses, who is Jesus, a prophet like unto Moses, to be delivered from slavery, and then delivered from spiritual slavery, to enter into the promised land on earth, but then to enter into the promised land of heaven by means of sacrifices, first sacrifices that are pointing to the Messiah, and then the ultimate fulfillment, the sacrifice of the Messiah. In short, by God's grace, I'm gaining a greater appreciation year by year for God's promises and then the fulfillment of God's promises. For all people desiring to be saved, both stories are really our stories. The tale of the two wilderness journeys is actually one story. Today's text compels me to narrow the focus down to the matter of sacrifice, and that's why I added those few verses onto the Old Testament reading, because it tells us that the Israelites weren't just fleeing for something, fleeing from something. They were drawn to something in the wilderness, and that something was God. And that something was the worship of the Almighty. And that something was the sacrifice. They desired to flee the oppression and the darkness, which is what Egypt was. Darkness. But they are also drawn into the light. The light that dwelt in the wilderness. The book of Exodus opens with the account of the Hebrew midwives who are ordered to murder every Hebrew boy born to a Hebrew woman. But they were to let every Hebrew girl live. But thanks be to God, they did not comply. Ultimately, Moses, by the power of God, brought plague after plague upon the Egyptians until finally Pharaoh let people, God's people, go. And they left from the darkness, and they entered into the light. They were lit by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And we learn in the New Testament that it was Christ at the center of the pillar. Now, the story of Exodus, as I've said, is more than just a story of escape. It is a story of striving towards and reaching the goal of a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and honey not just in an earthly sense, but in the heavenly sense, where God himself shall reign and love. They were not so much driven out as they were drawn out. I hope that's the way it is in your Christian life, that you're not just motivated by fear of death, fear of sin, fear of the devil, but you're truly drawn by something that is the love of God. There were wonders to be held in the wilderness, and those wonders attracted them, drew them, even enticed them. For God dwelt in the wilderness, and here he desired to be worshipped. "We must go forth," said Moses unto Pharaoh, "to worship our God." "We must go forth," said the author of Hebrews. "Live our eyes ever fixed on Jesus, pilgrims and sojourners are on earth, traveling to the promised land." Do we possess the most powerful motive in our Christian journey? The most powerful motive not being fear, but one of sacrificial love, a love more powerful than fear. Both journeys, both our journey and the journey of God's people Israel, are sustained by the sacrificial body and blood. First of lambs, and then the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And thanks be to God that we regularly have the body and blood given and shed for us in the sacrament of the altar for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In the sacrament is the power of sacrificial love. We must go forth on our own wilderness journey, which is our Christian pilgrimage, not just to escape the trials of the world. And as I think of that, I think of people that are suffering in this world, turning to death as a solution, turning to euthanasia and so forth. They're just looking to escape. But we Christians, we embrace death when God calls us to it, but we are drawn by that which is greater, drawn by the love of Christ. We're not just fleeing something, but we're drawn to something, and that something is God. That something is the day of the Lord, when all flesh is raised and justice is meted out and eternal glories are entered into. And we see the promised land. The promised land, though, is fueled. We get there fueled by sacrifice. The Israelites were fueled by sacrifice, protected by sacrifice, and so are we. "We must go forth into the wilderness," said Moses to Pharaoh, "to worship our God." And worship meant sacrifice. God commanded Moses to go to Pharaoh with this message right from the very beginning, that scene you see pictured on your bulletin covers. You and the elders of Israel, God laid on Moses this message. God implanted in his heart, and he spoke to Moses, and he said, "You and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now, please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So right from the very beginning, they're not just fleeing slavery of all kinds, physical slavery, spiritual slavery. They're being drawn out into the wilderness to sacrifice that they might see God, that they might be directed towards, ultimately, the sacrifice of Christ. But Pharaoh would not let God's people go. So came the plagues, all of them. And I put in your bulletins the 10 plagues of Egypt. You can take a look at that graphic. Water turned to undrinkable blood. Frogs swarming the earth. Lice coming, that is gnats, until the fourth plague, which is our reading for today, the plague of flies. With each plague, God was showing his power over all the false gods of Egypt, who were really no gods at all. They were charged to protect the Egyptians, but they failed utterly. And so today, once again, Moses goes before Pharaoh. We must go forth to worship our God. We must go forth to serve him, comes early on in the reading. We must go forth to serve him. We're not just escaping, but we're going forth to serve him. We must go forth to sacrifice. The plagues continue until the name of Egypt lived up to its name. And the name of Egypt means darkness. A thick, impenetrable darkness filled the land. And the last plague came in darkness, of the angel of death killing all the firstborn sons. But Israel had their sacrificial lambs at that first Passover as instructed by God. And the blood of the lamb was painted over the doorposts. And the angel of death, seeing that blood, passed over their homes that they might live, saved by the power of the blood. As Israel journeyed on, they were nourished by manna from heaven, the very bread of angels, as the psalmist says. Manna found fulfillment in New Testament times through the very sacrificial body of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus spoke of it in the great Bread of Life chapter, John 6. This is the bread which has come down out of heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. The manna that was in the wilderness sustained the Israelites for a time, but really it was pointing forward to the manna that comes down from heaven, not just the bread of angels, but the bread of the King of Angels, who is Jesus Christ, his body that he gives for us, that we might be sustained. As Israel went forth towards the promised land, they would continue to sacrifice as instructed by God. A few months after leaving Egypt and arriving at Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments and the law, the construction of the tabernacle began. Here, portable sacrificial machinery was set up with portable altars, a trained priesthood in the art of sacrifice, a slaughter for the sake of sacrifice. But Israel was always directed towards its fulfillment by means of the one perfect sacrifice foreshadowed. How? Foreshadowed by Moses of the serpent on the pole. While out in the wilderness, the rebellious Israelites were tormented by the bites of the fiery serpents. So Moses, instructed by God in Numbers chapter 21, said this. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze or fiery serpent and he would live. I wonder if Israel knew the full significance of this act. I can't say that they all did, but certainly the prophets did, as they're listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Certainly Moses did, as he's looking forward to his own fulfillment in the new Moses, in a prophet like unto Moses, who is Jesus. Most importantly, though, we know the significance of the serpent raised on the pole in the wilderness because Jesus himself explains it, saying, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." At the center, always, in both testaments, lift both peoples of God who are really one people. At the center always is Jesus Christ, who has sacrificial love, which motivated him to take on our sins, as symbolized by the serpent, symbolized by that evil serpent, so he could, in a sacrificial death on the cross, atone for our sins, paying our way, paying and paving our way to the promised land. The power of the sacrifice of Jesus is conveyed through word and sacrament in our Christian lives. Moses and the Israelites were rescued through the waters of the Nile, as in the case of Moses. Do you know what his name meant? Moses means as one who is drawn from water. Moses is saved through the water. And the children of Israel would be saved through the water too, the parting of the Red Sea. We are saved through the waters of holy baptism. Moses and the Israelites were strengthened in their journey through the Passover meal, the manna, the tabernacle, altars, the central element, though always being the sacrificial lamb. We are saved through the fulfilled Passover, which is the Lord's Supper. At the center of each journey, which is truly one and the same, is Jesus and his cross. He draws us by the cross. He compels us by the cross. So Jesus says this, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Not just fleeing, not just pushed, but drawn by the light of the world, who is Jesus. As people of God, whether Israel or New Israel, we are on a journey through the wilderness of this world, drawn and led by the power of the sacrificial love of Jesus towards our promised land. May Jesus give us true sight to see our goal and strength by means of his cross, that we may reach it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you once delivered your people Israel from bondage under Pharaoh and led them by a pillar of cloud and fire through the sea to safety. Grant that we may also so follow Christ, that through the power of his sacrificial love demonstrated on the cross, conveyed through word, the waters of baptism, and the sacrament of the altar, we may daily die and rise with him and walk in safety through the wilderness of this life until we see your salvation in our heavenly promised land. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please remain standing, and we're going to confess our faith.